This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we've got plenty to get to today. We will talk some crew stuff. We will talk some MLS stuff. We will get into a little bit of the European championships that are going on right now.
The Euros. My guys went crashing out, crash and burn in the semis.
Your France pick done. My England pick could be on the ropes by the time you hear this.
By the
we'll
time
know.
You hear this, either it's coming home or they would have gone home.
That's right. So we'll get into all that and what it means to be a 16-year-old freak of nature.
Jesus.
And a little bit about Copa America as well. Hope you all have had a
I hate Argentina.
Yeah. Their manager had a great idea that we could talk about too.
They're so good, and they play exactly how I would employ my team to play, and I hate it. I can't stand them.
Yeah, they've got, I mean, even just like starting at goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
You just got
an Argentine flag just painted in your hair.
Yeah, he's your guy if he's on your team,
yeah.
But if he's not on your team, man. Me Martinez, not the easiest to like. Yeah, so we'll talk about all that. The Argentine head coach had mentioned, the manager had mentioned that maybe we should have a competition where, like, one year we trade a CONMEBOL team to go to UEFA for the Euros, and we could bring a European club to play in.
Great.
And it's like, yeah, that's called the World Cup,
buddy.
That
happens every 4 years.
Right. Which, again, fair enough. He's saying that when you have American teams playing in this thing. So, like, you have America. I said American
North
teams.
American teams.
Yeah, North American sides, CONCACAF teams are playing in this thing. I get it. But, yeah, it's just that's not an idea. I don't even think the U.S. If you told me the U.S. is banned from being in this, fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with
especially
that.
Especially after how they played the last time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No update on Greg Berhalter, though. So.
Well, you know, by the time this comes out, who knows?
But said last week that there would have been an update, and there hasn't been.
No, there has not. So here's what we've got starting up with. We'll start with the crew and then go from there.
Ass kickers.
Buddy, Steve Sark had a stat about.
I've got it right in front of
me. Okay, give it to me because this stat is incredible.
I mean, yeah. there were a ton of
Well, the
of
one
numbers.
I was thinking of was the one about 4+ goal victories.
So in their first 28 seasons, and if you're a crew nerd, you know who Steve Sark is. If you're not, give him a follow on Twitter, at Steve Sark. In the first 28 seasons, the crew won 16 league games by 4+ goals, with no more than 2 coming in any one season. All right? Mm-hmm. 1996, 1998, and 2023. They have won by 4+ goals 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah, buddy, that's... we've been saying it, and I didn't know how much longer it'll go. I don't know when it isn't this time, but
just take it in.
Yeah, man. There's no like, I understand the idea of raising the standard. I understand the idea of, well, we now expect stuff to be a certain way.
Nah, not like this.
No, right. Like I expect the crew to fight for a top 4 playoff spot every year. And I mean, I'm not saying every year I expect them to have it. I'm saying I expect them to be in the fight for it. Making the playoffs is a thing that they should do every year. I feel like that's a standard we've kind of established.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't do that, it's bad. It means bad, bad stuff has happened. And then from there, I hope they are a competitive playoff team that every so often has the ability, even if they don't realize it, if they don't make that run, they have the ability to play with the best teams in MLS and be that best team
totally. Occasionally
and win the trophy. I am not...
Like they did last year.
Right.
Just won on a heater.
Exactly right. And like they did in 2020.
Yeah.
They were not... I don't think at any point in 2020 up until the final game, you could say they're the best team in MLS.
And in both of those years, we were like, nobody in the league wants to play Columbus.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Where you're peaking at the right time, you're playing really well. Nobody right now wants to play you.
Right. And I think that's something. So what I'm saying is I have a standard that I have for the crew that maybe I didn't have.
It's the bone standard.
Well, I'm saying I was there in 2005, 2006 when this team was god awful. I've been there for some of these lean years, you know, in between some of these cup runs. I know it can be bad. But what I'm trying to tell you is I want to have the standard a little higher, sure. But this idea that you can go out and beat anybody by four goals and this idea that you're just, oh, my gosh, well, we won, but it wasn't pretty. Take this all in.
Yeah.
Enjoy these moments, folks, because they're not normal. It's so, not normal to have this.
The follow-up from Steve Cirk on this is that Wilfried Nancy has been the crew coach for a smidge more than 1.5 seasons. Yet his teams have 5 of the club's 19 league wins by 4-plus goals. That's 26% of the 4-plus wins, 4-plus goal wins, in roughly just 5% of the seasons.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's never happened.
You've got a good combination of things here. Because obviously, you think about the goals being scored, which is an important point in winning by 4-plus goals. I'm going to go out and say my soccer math tells me you got to score to do that type
Correct.
Of thing.
Yep.
But you also have to have a defense that can play and likely shut a team out to get a 4-goal victory. Because, I mean, if you get 4 goals in a game, that's not a guarantee you're getting a 4-goal victory. That could mean a very wide-open game
yeah.
where the other team gets 1 or 2, and you still dominate and win, but you don't win by 4 goals. That's how ridiculous this is. So having Schulte at the back, having the defensive setup that they do, having good defensive midfielders, being able to slot in guys. Aiden Morris has just walked out the door, and they're so far, early returns are looking good. We'll see once you get into the playoffs, and we'll see how much he's missed. But the whole point is you can have scoring, and they do, but you have to have the complete package and a coach who knows how to deploy all these players.
Well, they've scored 15 goals in their last 4 games.
15 goals to 1 given up.
Yeah.
It's also like that's – it'd be one thing if they were leading the league in goals scored and goals given up. That yeah. happens sometimes where it's
like – It happens, like, not frequently, but it will happen.
It's not surprising when it happens that it seems like, well, they score a lot of goals, but they give a lot of goals yeah. up because they have a wide-open style of play. The crew at one point in their game this past weekend had – Toronto, I think, had – at one point in the first half, it was after 30 minutes at least – it was over 70% possession.
Oh, it's just you had the ball possession the whole time.
Right. That's
and that always doesn't translate to goals. We have talked about this before. It's like, yeah, remember the time where Barcelona had like 88% of the possession against Celtic and Celtic won 1-0. Like,
right.
That will happen in a weirdo 90-minute game, like where a team just takes the opportunity in front of them and then just defends for their life. But possession is translating to goals.
Right.
With this team.
Yeah. I think what we have to all keep in mind here, because again, 15 goals scored, 1 given up in the last 4 matches. You got a tough one coming up with LAFC.
Yep.
That's not going to be easy at all.
It will not be a friendly environment walking in there.
Well, and just like I think when Cincinnati played the crew here in the first Hell is Real, and you saw how dominant they were in that game, and I hate to say it, but Kentucky FC had the better of the play that yeah. entire game. LAFC is looking at this going, we know we're one of the best. We got to show them that last year was a fluke and they don't just beat anybody. And they know what they know, all these numbers we're throwing out. Mm-hmm. They are reading all the press clippings, I'm quite sure, about how awesome the crew are right now. They want to shut everybody up about that. It doesn't mean necessarily a whole lot in the regular season.
No.
But like I understand it's going to be a tough game. So I'll take out of that game if the crew can overcome some adversity in that. And they can find a way to get a point out of it.
Totally.
If they can find a way to get 3 points out of it, awesome. But like, if
raise
you get
the banner.
Well, that's we don't live in Cincinnati. Come on. We don't look at regular season success around here as the only thing. But I do think that's kind of where I'm looking at this little streak they're on. This ridiculous 4-game streak. And it's not the first time, right?
First time in club history where they've won by multiple goals 4 games in a row.
Yes. Too. But what I mean is, like, even this season, they've had a run where they had put up a bunch of goals before,
yep.
right? So
then you ran into Pachuca.
Yeah. That's true. And what I'm pointing out is I feel like the way to look at what's going on now is we know the crew are good. We know they are built steady and yep. solid, and they will have – we'll see what happens with transfers. We'll see what happens with some of these new additions.
Seems to have died down a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit more coming, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's something brewing where maybe some, you know, I could
also
see.
Also didn't see Bez leaving in the middle of the season.
No,
either.
I didn't. But I tend to think with MLS teams, the Crew being one of these teams that is not New York, L.A., where, you know, like those are already being talked about months in advance with, like, publicly, where you're hearing players are saying, I'm retiring. Olivier Giroud is like, I'm retiring to go do this. Yeah. I'm retiring from European football, and I'm going to go play over in MLS now. Like, that's all set up, and it's known he wants to come to L.A. It's known guys want to go to these bigger cities. The Crew, I think, and some of these other MLS teams, they are, I think, seen as second and third options for guys who might want to stay in Europe, but then don't get the deal they want.
Yeah.
And then they look at, all right, well, I could go play for a lesser European team, or I could go play for the best team one of in MLS.
You feel like it's more stable to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I look at what Diego Rossi's getting right now.
Yeah.
How do you think he feels compared to when he was playing in Turkey? You know what
Probably
I mean?
Probably a lot better.
Right.
And like, he was not that great to start off, but he's been magnificent.
Dude, I talked about it on Saturday night on Twitter. I was posting about it. Like, that run he had where he didn't score.
Yeah.
But he, like, went through the entire team, basically, and then, like, that's something that's he's got. He can do it when he has to, but that's not the only thing he does. He runs like crazy. He puts in all the work. I'm with you where I did not understand at first what was going on with him and why he wasn't fully implemented. And I have to remember, like, this is just how it works. In MLS, 9 times out of 10, Cucho, I think, was one of the rare exceptions to this. 9 times out of 10, you bring a guy in, it's going to take, especially these midseason transfers, it's going to take 6 months for them to kind of, even a guy who played in the league, just to get acclimated to the team, acclimated to what's expected. We have a phone ringing during our podcast.
So the studio phone is hooked up where we record, and then yes, the on-air studio. So I'm guessing Bishop and friends who are on from 9 to noon that they're doing a giveaway because the entire phone bank.
Can we not
is,
mute that?
I don't know. Should I just pick up a call? Put it on
no, the I would.
I don't think I can mute it. I don't want to press any buttons.
Well, whatever.
There you go. You can hear it ringing.
This is so so annoying.
And to me and you, it's like the most distracting thing.
Oh,
in the
I know.
World.
We're both looking at each other like, do we keep going? What do we do?
What do we do here? It's fine. Just let
but
it.
Anyway,
ring.
You know what? You know who's not distracted? Diego Rossi.
No,
he's able to get it done.
He is able to get it done, and he's been terrific. I saw somebody post this on Twitter, and I don't know if it was you who quote tweeted it, but they're like, I mean, Gio Reyna's been having some problems, and it was from Copa America. They're like, imagine, would you take him in Wilfried Nancy's system with the Crew? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, 1,000%. And I saw some people like, oh, we don't need him. I'm like, yeah, you don't need him. You're playing well at the minute. But wouldn't you love to be, like, the rehab club for him?
Well, that's where I just look at it as Gio's got immense talent, but obviously he has not seen a lot of minutes. He has to get on the field this summer. Like, not this summer, but, you know, coming up when we start the new season. He has to get regular playing time somewhere. And for me, Wilfried Nancy has had such a great effect on players being able to say, I want you to play free. I want you to come in here. If you don't think he would be awesome for Gio Reyna's development, I'm not, again, that's not the number one focus for the Crew, right? Yeah. It's not to fix Gio Reyna, but the idea that, well, if he comes here, he could be a locker room cancer. Then he wouldn't be allowed to stay here. Yeah. They would not allow him to be a part of this team after a while. But also, you don't think guys like Darlington Nagbe couldn't help him and be like, hey man, frustrated with your role in the national team? I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
I'm the guy that you
right.
want to talk to.
Yeah.
For this.
Like, you don't think that might help him a little bit to see? And don't forget, I mean, Darlington Nagbe was playing on the wing at first with, you know, part of his career, then has now found a totally different life playing defensive midfield.
One of the best to do it.
Yeah. So I don't. God, those phones are still ringing. It's annoying. This is good. All I know is this.
I think we're done. We're done. We're done.
I'm just saying that if there is a chance to get. And I don't think it's likely. There's not probably a thing that's going to happen like that. But Gio Reyna being able to play for the Crew, players that have that ability, you just can't ignore it. And I don't think at MLS, if there was an if he was like saying, I want to play here, I am very interested in that, I don't think he would. I don't know why he necessarily would, other than just knowing what the Crew are.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a natural tie to this area from what I understand. You know,
could play for my future U.S. men's national team coach.
Who's that?
Wilf.
Dude. I don't actually, you know what? I don't want that. Well,
to happen.
I don't want it to happen, but I have a thought. I think it would be similar to what Berhalter's experienced.
Well, it's such an intricate system that it takes drilling.
Well, yeah, and it also takes a fundamental philosophical change. Mm-hmm. I think guys like Berhalter and guys like Nancy are very good at getting you to play within their system and getting that system and getting that. It's even with Nancy, it's not about a system necessarily. It's a philosophy.
Yeah, correct.
It's a thought process. Yeah, and that he could be a great sports psychologist, I think. And certainly a great assistant.
He probably already is.
Well, I'm saying on a national team, I could see him working in that capacity to help a guy during a tournament to play better. But when it comes to putting the entire thing together, not that he couldn't do that. I think he's much more suited to the pro game where you are playing
every week,
round the clock, yeah, minute by minute. You're around this. You're soaked in it. Then you leave for a couple weeks, go to your national team. That's where you need the guy who's like, hey, I'm a cynical a-hole. Here's what we're doing. This is it. And you go here, you go there, and I just want you to play in this, and that's it. Like simple tasks that mm-hmm. don't need to be overthought. That's what you need, I think, at the U.S. national team level. Not that Wilfried Nancy is not great, and if he takes over the U.S. national team, I'll be sad to see him go, but I'll be hopeful that it'll go better than Berhalter. I just feel like those type of coaches often have difficulty at the national team level, whereas guys who have shown at the international level, they can come in and just direct and get the best players and figure out where guys fit and be kind of ruthless about it.
Yeah.
That's probably what you need more at this point with the national team, is someone who can just kick everybody in the butt and say, let's go. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I'm going to tell you where it is.
You don't think Jurgen Klopp would be that way?
Well, Jurgen Klopp's the exception.
Hey,
that
man,
he was
in the U.S. for the 4th of July.
I saw he was wishing everybody a happy 4th.
I know.
What's the bigger pipe dream? Getting him for the national team or getting Gio Reyna to play for the Crew? Which one's
bigger pipe dream?
Which one's less likely to happen?
Jurgen, I think.
Yeah. I as much as I think it would be awesome,
I think both would be awesome.
I'm saying I don't think there's a chance that Jurgen Klopp, especially with the German job possibly coming open, you know, like that's gonna be more of a thing I think he would be sitting around waiting for.
Well, yeah, it's been my long plot from him when we figured out that he was going to call it quits with Liverpool. It's like he will be the coach for Germany in the World Cup.
Yeah,
in 2026
exactly right.
Here.
Yeah, so I cannot see a scenario. I cannot envision a way that they are sticking in Germany with the current coach.
No,
and then
is it Hansi Flick?
Hansi Flick, I think, is probably done. Right,
yeah.
You lost. You're not in the final. You're not even close to the final now.
Lost to Spain. Who are
hey,
pretty good.
But you're hosting.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't even get to the final. That's yeah. That's
or the semis.
Got to feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Right? So
saw Toni Kroos's career come to an end on your hand, on your watch.
That's exactly right. His career's blood is on you. No.
Way to go, Hansi.
It's very graphic. Why did it go there? speaking of Crew players, national team, we'll talk about this briefly. Aiden Morris out of the Olympic picture.
Yep.
Because, and I always forget about this with the Olympics. Because of the, do you know the history with the Olympics and FIFA with the World Cup?
I feel like I do somewhere in my brain, but.
I'll give you 2 seconds on it. Olympics were the World Cup for many years. Yep. And then FIFA said, wait a second.
You can't do this.
We want to have that.
Yeah.
They made the World Cup in response to the Olympics getting more and more popular with Olympic soccer. When that occurred.
That was all Sepp Blatter too. Doing this.
Yeah. It was him as an infant doing it. But yes, no, it was back in like the 30s. So this was when the first, you know, World Cups became a thing. At the time, Olympics were amateur. And so the Olympics continued in that way for a long time until eventually in the 80s, I think, they said, okay, well, we can't do that anymore. We have to allow for players to actually play that are professional contracts, but they're going to be, you know, under certain ages and mm-hmm. that kind of thing, which is where we are now.
Which I think is a fine way to do the Olympics.
Yes. But that's the reason why the FIFA international calendar, under the FIFA international calendar, teams are required to let guys go for the Euros. They're required to let you go for Copa America because that's in an international window. The Olympics are not. That's not because the Olympics don't want that. It's because FIFA won't let it happen. FIFA could easily look and say, the Olympics are also in an international window.
Nah.
Nope, they don't. So that's why... in this case, Middlesbrough was allowed to say, Aiden Morris, sorry, we've invested too much. We don't want you to go.
Don't blame him.
I do wonder how much of that he knew before he signed. You know, because I cannot imagine that it wouldn't have come up in negotiations.
I think it was probably pretty clear. Like, hey, if we get this deal through the goal line, like, we're not going to release you for Olympics play.
Right. And because I think some people may have had the thought of like, oh, man, Aiden Morris got screwed on this. Maybe, but I'm guessing probably not. I'm guessing you don't make that type of deal knowing it's an Olympic summer, knowing that, by the way, this is his last time eligible for the Olympics mm-hmm. without being one of the, you know, extra DPs, players that's added in. So, yeah, so he doesn't go, but Patrick Schulte does. So as much as I hate to see him go for the Crew, happy for him personally. He deserves it and totally. Gives the U.S. a very good shot of advancing in what is essentially the JV tournament of, you know, of international soccer.
This is the first Olympics in like 12, I think. That we have the first.
Oh yeah, because we missed it.
It's been a long time since our men's team has played in an Olympics.
Yeah, it has been. You're exactly right. They've had a couple cycles where they missed. Yeah, it's glad that they're back in, and I'm glad that Schulte's at least there, and I think he'll be a very good, you know, have a very good chance to continue to grow and show what he can do, and that may be bad for the Crew because they already know how good he is, and yet. Even more teams will be getting exposure to that. The international media will be seeing more of him. So, yeah, there will be a lot of bright young talent on display for all these teams. Will be a lot of fun. But that's another reason why, for example, Kylian Mbappe wanted to play. It's in Paris. He wanted to play for France in this and do the double, playing in the Euros.
Real Madrid said no thanks. First time that we've qualified for the Olympics since 2008.
God, 2008.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Man, I did not know. I
thought it was 2012, but it was 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, well, you know what? Big deal. And I'm excited.
BFD.
BFD. Exactly right. So that's where we stand with the Olympics discussion. We will get more on that as we go later on the year or later on in the, not the year. You know what I'm saying?
Outside of the international window.
Next few days. Also, real quick, did you see Atlanta United has transferred some ridiculous amount of money?
No.
So they just
to GAM?
No. They're getting. I don't know how it all works, but they're getting money. Atlanta United's Caleb Wiley is going to be joining Chelsea.
Okay.
In an $11 million transfer deal. Now he will immediately be loaned to Strasbourg for this season, so he's not going to play for Chelsea. But Atlanta United got $11 million for him.
Damn.
Putting on that, they also just got Thiago Almada. Mm-hmm. Almada got traded as well. Traded.
Hello. Hello.
Okay, let me start over with all that.
Where did he get traded?
Thiago Almada is now playing.
Steven Stamkos in the deal?
That's right. He's playing for Botafogo.
Okay.
And they said the terms were not disclosed, but I could have swore when they did this deal, they said that it's a record number MLS.
I would assume so.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount. I think the estimates, because they also, Giakoumakis is gone. Yep. Who I forget who the broadcaster is on Apple TV.
Giakoumakis.
But he's already got like a, hey, everybody, how's it? Giakoumakis. And then when he says Giakoumakis, it's
was
almost.
Was it in the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Was that the game? They were wearing their green jerseys.
Yeah.
Giakoumakis.
Anyway, he got transferred as well. So I want to say all told out the door, they've taken, like, players going out, Atlanta United has taken in like
21 mil.
For Almada.
Could increase to 30 mil.
Yes, because
there's
sell-ons, yeah.
Yeah.
So he, just those two guys, it's over 30. And I think Giakoumakis was a decent deal too. So it might be like 35 million.
They have a good record of that. They sold Miguel Almiron to Newcastle almost like 20 mil, didn't they?
If not more, I think you're right. But these are so, well, no, it couldn't be because, like we just said, Almada's like a record number.
It had to be close to that than 21 mil for sure.
So don't be surprised if you see Atlanta United in on some guys now because they got a lot of money to spend. So that's going to be.
They can sign Olivier Giroud.
No, because that's already. LA's already. They've already called dibs.
By the way, who was the player that we discovered the transfer? Did you see this?
Oh, I did, and I cannot remember.
St. Louis
who it was.
City. Like, we discovered his transfer right fees, and it's basically like a free $600,000.
It's the discovery system.
Like, Charlotte had to pay. Somebody.
No. I think they got paid.
They
that
got paid
it.
For discovering the discovery fee or discovery rights on Marco Royce.
Yes, that's right.
That's so
basically
stupid.
What the system is if you're not aware of this, it's like a waiver system in any fantasy sports league where if you're first in order and you what teams do is the second they believe that a player is going to even have an interest in coming to the U.S. There's probably some backdoor rules with this that MLS has. It's like, hey, like, you can't go put a discovery fee in on, like, Kylian Mbappe now. Because that,
right.
you know, a discovery rights thing on him. But at some point, that probably opens up.
Like, like a year ago, like Cole Palmer. It's like, hey,
yeah.
we're going to put a discovery right. rights on him.
I mean, you know, he's not, if he's ever going to play in MLS, it's not going to be for another, you know, 5-10 years at least. Probably yeah. 10. But what you can do at some point, there's a rule that you can go put a discovery right on a player that's obviously very well known.
Jude Bellingham.
Sure. And if that player comes available, now if you're, I think it's based on that order, right? Like a waiver transfer type thing where you basically can say, this is the guy, this is the team, and I think that we want him. Knowing full well that he's never going to come to your team, but you're first in line. So if the team that wants him or he wants to go to is LA and they're
great.
There and they're sitting in 15th, the only way they can get him is if they swap something with you to get up to number one to then get the ability to use their discovery claim on him. They're
what
jumping.
What a great job that would be.
Well, and the reason they do that, as far as what I understand, is basically because they don't want players who say, I'd like to live in Miami, LA, or New York. Suddenly those teams, just because of where they're located, they get all these guys, and other teams have no way to get compensated or no way to be competitive. Crew got, yeah, was it 650,000
yeah.
to use because of that. Fantastic.
Just free money.
Great. So it's extra money. That's good business. I'm not saying everything MLS does is right, but I understand why they do that, because
yeah.
they do not want to have three teams just in the, you know, biggest cities in America suddenly have all the players and no one else can win. Crew have shown that they can.
Good job.
So, love that. We'll take a break. We come back a little bit about what's going on with the Spanish youth. There's a Spanish youth out there who's making some waves, listening to Bone and Beam United.
I'm just saying, the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United on Twitter/X, whatever we're calling that now. One programming note, next week, I will be off.
Me too.
But we're not leaving you without a podcast. We are working ahead, and we are going to be recording an episode before we get out of town.
The dudes episode that we've been long talking about.
Well, and who is the dude we've been talking about as the guy to launch it?
The chosen one.
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
We are going to start our dudes podcast episode. I don't even know if this is what we're actually officially calling it, but it's, yes.
It's the dude, yeah.
We're doing an episode about one guy in soccer, one gal possibly in the future that,
yep.
that we talk about, that people talk about, that we don't, we just want to, like, let's actually not just reference this person. Let's actually break down their career and talk about it and why they're known and what they're known for and all that. So we're going to do that with Jose Mourinho next week.
Because
so,
you and I are both on vacation.
That's why. It would have been nice to say, oh, we're just full of vim and vigor and we just worked ahead and did so many. No, we're doing it because we're both not going to be here. But we at least want you to have something. We don't want to just
skip
out. We want to
provide content for you during the summer.
Yeah. We won't be able to tell you who won the Euros or Copa America.
You already know that.
We won't be able to break down the LAFC, hopefully, you know, the crew destroying them on the road. But what we will do is give you something else. So I hope you enjoy that. And if you do, please share it. Let people know about it. That always helps people find our podcast. So Spain got it done against France in what was just a trip. Like, if you didn't watch the first 30 minutes of that game, you missed a lot.
They've been the best team in the tournament the whole tournament.
Dude.
The whole tournament they have been.
Incredible. Spain is just on another level.
Yeah.
And
they're awesome to watch.
Like, yeah,
they're
just, man.
They're really fun.
They're top to bottom. Like, every aspect of their team is just so much fun. But, of course, the headline from this one, the guy who won man of the match.
Boy of the match.
Child of the match. El Nino, as they call him. That's Spanish for the Nino. Lamine Yamal.
Yeah, remember.
You brought him up earlier in the year.
Yeah.
When a debut he made?
It was a debut at Barcelona, yeah.
Was it his Champions League debut, maybe?
I don't know.
Something?
Whatever.
Whatever. I mean, it had to be, right? Something to
Put
that
a
effect.
Discovery rights fee on that guy.
The crew have just announced they've put discovery fee on Lamine Yamal. So has everybody else in the world, by the way. Barcelona, I believe the rumor is that they have a $1 billion sell-on fee for him. Like, you want him good, it's going to cost $1 billion.
I love that.
Real Madrid's like, well, tell me more. Yeah. What do you
right. Let's How's discuss 800 this. Million sound. Maybe we can work this out in the future. We didn't have to pay anything for Mbappe, so. By the way, Kylian Mbappe, last World Cup in 2022, 8 goals. Mm-hmm. This year, 1, none in open play. Lamine Yamal made him look like he was just washed.
Dude.
Astonishing. Astonishing.
Okay. The goal that Lamine Yamal scores.
Do you want the backstory on that, too? Because Adrian Rabiot had, like, posted something. Again, brings us back to our golden rule of this podcast and doing radio. Never tweet.
Never tweet.
Instagram. Never do anything. All right? Just never say, just don't, when you get in front of an open microphone, just never speak ill words about anybody, especially a 16-year-old freak of nature. Hmm. So I forget if he posted this on Instagram or he posted this. He was asked about him, but Adrian Rabiot was like, okay, you know, wait until he sees our defense. Buddy, the goal that he scored yesterday, it could not have been more perfect. First of all, banger, 25 yards out, left foot, cutting in and out.
In traffic, shaking guys off.
The guy who he shook off was Adrian Rabiot. Like, you can't say that.
No.
And then go and perform and get spun out of a telephone booth and a guy hits a banger from 25 yards out. You can't do that.
No, man. And that's all real. I don't know what's going to happen with Lamine Yamal's career from here, right? It's almost, you always wonder with guys like this where he turns 17 on Saturday. Like, he's 16 when he scores this goal. They were talking about this on the broadcast, like, what were you doing when you were 16 years old?
Not scoring that on FIFA. On FIFA.
With adults.
Yeah.
Like, adults that you were playing as on FIFA. But you, as a child, were that's the most you could ever hope for, or I could ever hope for. This guy's scoring that to help put his team in the European final. Like, the Euros final is now in part because of him. And then he will play that, the day after his birthday? Yeah. Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, this guy is barely going to be 17 years old when he plays in a European final, let alone...
on the roster or just part of the team. I mean,
An integral piece.
An integral piece in it. It's just really
he was man of the match in this game.
A
World Cup team that won the World Cup, and Kylian Mbappe was on the field, and he didn't win it. This kid did.
The more you talk about it, the crazier it becomes. And this was supposed to be
Kylian Mbappe is like 18. Like, he's...
Was he not. Like 24?
24, yeah. I
mean, yeah, old.
Old man.
Old man.
Seven years older than this dude. Think about that. Like, think about how long we've been watching Kylian Mbappe and be like, this guy.
He's 25.
Cow. Okay, so seven, eight years
Lamine
older than this
Yamal
dude.
Was 12 when COVID happened. It doesn't even make sense.
Lamine Yamal didn't have a childhood and had to wear a mask. And now, what's your kid's excuse?
Jesus Navas is 38, who is Spain's right back, who is older than Lamine Yamal's dad.
This is unreal, this guy. Crazy. 16 years old, soon to be 17 years old. So anyway, I don't know what's going to become of Lamine Yamal, but T-Bone here for pay the kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you've got a high schooler who's good and someone wants to give him $1 million for throwing a football.
Who cares?
This dude is going to be making so much bleeping money.
He's a national hero.
National hero at 17, almost. Good golly. What do you get that kid for his birthday?
I don't know.
Saturday, you're the parents. What are you like, hey, do you...
Like Chuck E. Cheese? We invited the trampoline park?
And he's like, sorry, I can't focus. I've got to go win something for my country now, if you'll excuse me. How about you put a new Ferrari, though, in my driveway just for when I get home? I'll pay
if
for
I have
it.
My driver's
I'll
license.
I'll pay for it. Yeah.
If I've had time to be able to do
I don't even
that.
Know what the driving age is in Spain. It might be. So I have no idea.
It might be
16,
18.
15. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so this is...
This is supposed to be like the Pedri and Gavi show, too.
And yeah. Just, Well,
I know the injury.
Obviously. Yeah. That's which, by the way, Germany, why did you have to go do that? Like, why? Germany just came out and was like, So what we will do now is just take everyone's legs out in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. And then it didn't, how'd that work out for you?
Poorly.
Didn't work out.
Poorly.
Just stupid tackles. I hated that. Germany's stupid. You deserve getting bounced from
also,
this.
France deserved to get bounced because you can't score
no
open play.
No.
Like, they just can't. Didier Deschamps run over for them? I think so.
Yeah, I think that's, I think we've seen enough.
Yeah.
Although I can understand if it's like he's won a World Cup, so we're going to let him take the final 2 years of this cycle for the World Cup this time.
But has he taken them, I know that they won the World Cup in 18. He got to the final in 2022. They looked miserable in the final until Kylian Mbappe in 90 seconds decided to be Kylian Mbappe. Until he decided to look in the mirror, said, "You are Lamine Yamal. You need to be as good as that kid is."
Lamine Yamal, by the way, was like, "Hey, that guy's awesome someday." Yeah. Wow.
This is going to be really cool.
Time to go get my braces put on. By the way, the dude, I mean, he will be the first person who scores a brace with braces on.
Yeah.
Has to be a Champions League final if that happens. Like, I don't know how long the braces are on, but probably for a little bit longer. My kids have braces on. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm old enough to parent a child of braces, and this child of braces is scoring. Damn it, I'm old. I'm so old.
His
all right.
market value is $98 million, and that's way
what? Light. Yeah, pay it.
Yeah.
Anybody in the world would pay $100 million to have that dude on their team. His market value is 10 times that. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Anybody would pay that for him. So anyway, there you go. Spain is in the final. We don't know. By the time you listen, you will know if it's England or Netherlands.
I hope the Netherlands wins. Because that will be a way better final than if England plays Spain.
Oh, gosh.
It'll just be way more entertaining.
Well,
in theory.
Depends on what you call entertaining. I know what you mean, like, as far as the style of play, but there is a level of entertainment I get from watching British people be nervous. Like, just watching the British people go like, "Oh, yes, we're a very confident group, aren't we?" And then they get in there like, "Oh, I don't know." Like, I saw that, what's his face? James Corden, who used to do the Late Late Show, whatever.
The nun to the bad tipper.
Yes, he's a play now that he's in, and he stopped the start of the play because he was watching the last England game before the one that obviously has now been played. And I just thought, yeah, okay, you have to show everybody how big of a fan you are. Mm-hmm. You chose this. You chose to have a play. You chose to be in the play during the Euros.
Don't
what
make
thinking?
Me suffer for it.
Yeah, all these people didn't want to watch it because they came to your play. If they wanted to watch it, they'd be at home.
Anyway. Or at the game.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. I don't have many thoughts on Copa America, except for one. The Endrick stat. Mm. Did you see this?
Yeah, one completed pass and it was kickoff.
Yeah. Not good for Brazil. Uruguay, doing things.
Endrick was very early 2024. Lamine Yamal.
Well, yeah, he's
Endrick out. Him all in.
Well, isn't that crazy that Real Madrid's like, we too have a wonder kid who can shut up. You have to have expectations, right? But how old is Endrick?
17. He's old.
He's
going to be 18 in 2 weeks.
That's right. He couldn't transfer officially until he turned 18. That's why we talked about that. So he's already 18.
Bum.
Man,
bum.
Just a bum. What a loser. Lamine Yamal. Man, you got to hate that if you're like a phenom who's like, "Hey, I'm pretty good on my high school team. I'm 17. It's like, "You're not Lamine Yamal, though, are you?" Just every kid now has got a new standard
to
live up to.
To be honest, though, that's a bad stat.
It's a horrible stat. He wouldn't have been playing if Vinny wasn't suspended, but he was. And so he gets in and... Now you can see Neymar just shaking his head and not happy about it.
Yeah, they've got some things to work through before the next cup.
They definitely do.
And they're in qualifying standings, too. And I know we got a long way to go. I think they're 6 games through their 18-match qualifying down in CONMEBOL.
Yeah.
I want to say Brazil's like 7th or 8th in the table.
Oh, really?
So like I know it's an expanded field. I don't know how many are qualifying. Brazil will be at the World Cup. The way that Uruguay is playing right now,
unreal.
The way that Colombia is playing right now, Venezuela is playing also pretty darn good. There's a lot of teams that maybe aren't as bad as they have been in prior qualifying sessions. So I'm not saying that Brazil's in any threat of missing the World Cup, but let's go back. Let's put a pin in that for like 6 months from now when we get to the new year and we've gone through a couple more qualifying stages with them just to see how everything's going.
Yeah, that's... It's gonna be a thing.
I'll tell you what, because we've got the other game coming up in Euros tonight. What is it? Uruguay and Colombia, right? The other semifinal.
Yeah.
If Uruguay gets past Colombia, that will be the dirtiest, nastiest, most rotten game on Sunday night, because both teams play to that level of like, I'm gonna flop on the ground and do all that. Like, it'll be nasty, and I'll be all for it.
Someone will have a knife stashed in their shin guards. Yeah. Like, they will be like, no, I have a shin guard. See, and they'll knock on
Rodrigo DePaul is the odds on favorite for that.
Like, it will be. And you know what? I'm here for it. I'm here for it. All right. That's it for us. Stay tuned next week for the Jose Mourinho episode. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. See you next time.